Accession number 16576, Jimmy Miller, reel 11.
Mr. Miller, reel 11. We were talking about when, in the Prague area, you joined the Russians temporarily. And you were saying that the Russian women... Who were these Russian women? And
soldiers.
They were actual soldiers?
Yeah.
And you said they used to dance?
Yeah. And they used to do a point duty. You know, like the traffic. They had a red disc and a green disc. They were like robots. Oh, up your arm. They were fantastic. I stand watching them doing the traffic, and anyway,
No, you say we missed some of it on the tape at night. They used to dance.
Yeah, at night.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, they had a fire. They were to build a fire and enjoying and drinking the old. I didn't drink anymore. Drinking vodka and that, didn't they?
You said they had music as well.
Oh yeah. Them Russian, what they call them, Melodians, and that, things like that, you know. And the men used to dance, they could dance. Oh, yeah, they're...
So, you quite like the Russians?
I did, still do. Nothing against them. They're good to me.
Now, you left them in Prague.
Yes, I got into Prague, and I got into the city itself. There was still some Germans.
Do you know when this would be? Roughly. It'd be 1945, would it? I'm not too good on these sort of dates.
It was in May.
May 45?
Yeah, early May.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, early May.
And what was happening in Prague then?
Well, I got into Prague anyway. It was a lovely place. And a lot of bridges. And I got there, like, and there was people walking about, but there were still some Germans there. You know, single Germans on the roofs, the Czechs were after them, you know, and then you'd hear a shot. Because the Czechs, I heard, they'd been issued with British rifles and 5 rounds of ammunition. Czech soldiers, you know, the men, you know, the underground, I suppose they were. And there was a man and his wife and a girl walking down the road. Before that, I met two Czech lads. And I said, it was getting night time, and I said, somewhere to sleep, you know, with me on the lake. And they give me some money. And I went to a hotel and I had a bed for the night in this hotel. And I had some food as well the next morning. And then I got right into the city, walking. And there was this man and woman and his daughter. And I said hello to them, like, Czechs, and the girl said, "Hello, mister," in English. And I says, you speak English? She says, yes. That girl, I thought I was here, she's about 16, that girl, during the German occupation, they were rich people, he owned a factory. She'd taught herself English, and she could type English. She used to send me letters. I've got one letter here anyway. And I said, I'd like somewhere to sleep. I've got nowhere to sleep. I'm British, you know, English. So I says, oh. And she spoke to her mum and dad. And they said, come. And I went to their house. Magnificent, great garden. And I had a bath. And I had something to eat as well. And the dad, we were sitting around the table, and he put a bottle on the table, and it was a bottle of Scotch whiskey. He'd had it hidden. It's a different crate of whiskey. You used to get it. Now I'm looking at it. Scotch whiskey? I think it was Bell's. A drink. God. Anyway, the girl Sonia Niedla, her name was. I had her dad's pyjamas. I was asleep in his study on a settee. She was a marvellous speaker, that's her. And that's Czechish, I don't know what it is, the Czechish. The factory was called Brother Scrubwater. Her dad couldn't speak English, nor her mother. And her mother was just a little old lady, like.
It's Niedla, N-Y-E-D-L-A,
I think. Yeah, so in that, I've often wondered what happened to that girl. But that's the story to come, like, as well. I was with him, quite some time. And she used to take me walks round Prague in Wenceslas Square. And she used to take me to a barber's, and this barber used to shave me. Free. Yeah. And I used to go to parties, that parties, because the war was over. Oh, before this was, well, of course, Hitler had died. I think, he died. And the Germans, of course, they had his picture in the window with a black band around it, right? The Fuhrer's Tod. Couldn't care less. I think Roosevelt had died, and all of it, sure, at that time, because I didn't know much about much. I couldn't let the missus know, anybody know where I was at the time. But
was there any celebrations when the war actually ended?
Oh, in Czechoslovakia there was.
That you were in?
Yeah, no, I was with them, I was in. Somebody gave me a pair of shoes.
What do you remember? Hmm? What do you remember of the night or day, whatever it was?
Well, there were just parties in the hotels and cafes, you know, plenty of singing and dancing. I couldn't. I was enjoying this, you know. Well, I stopped with them for about 2 weeks, this family, Sonia. And and there was another girl, that's her there, at a party. She was friends with her. There were no friends, that was it. So, the addresses are, I'd say it's written Czechish, I don't know what it is. I like some Czech to read it in Czechish. But they had a big house. I know they moved from there and went, this girl, a family went to another house. But anyway.
So what happened after 2 weeks then?
Well, I just stopped there. But before then, I saw a German soldier strung up by his feet in a street. In the street, it had murals on the wall. Beautiful street. And there was bullet holes all over the walls as well. And this German, he'd been in the house and slung a little girl out of the window and killed her. And the flowers, people left the flowers where she died. But they got him and strung him up, fastened his hands, and they burnt him alive. And he's still hanging there. He's dead, you know. I also saw Czech women who'd been associating with the Germans. They had the hair off. Taking down the barricades, what the Czechs had put up in the street, you know, blocks, the streets. And they were carrying these blocks and laying them in the street again. Oh, you know. And the Czechs had whips and all, you know. And they said also there was a school with some Hitler Jugend in. And the Czechs had told these youngsters to come out. And they wouldn't, and they spied. And I don't know whether they killed them all or what happened. You know, that was when I was in Prague. And I seen the big cathedral there. But Sonia used to take me for walks. And when I used to go for a walk with her, I always stepped on the outside by the gutter, like, you know, and she said, she called me Jim and all, Dusty, you know, why do you do that? Why do you put me here? And I said, well, it's an old English custom. I says, in days gone by, when the roads were muddy and only had the carts, you know, and just a splash, you know. And also, it gave a man with a sword time to get his sword out. If he was on that side, he couldn't get his sword out, he'd been attacked. Oh, she thought it was a beautiful story. Things like that. Shush, was great. Oh dear. Anyway, I used to write to her, and she used to write regular asking about marrying.
But we haven't left yet. You were there. What happened at the end of the 2 weeks?
Oh, sorry. I met a chick. He had a truck. He had a truck, and we come to the checkpoint, Charlie's, whatever they call
it. So Sonia arranged with him.
Yeah. And we got through because this Russian, I don't think he could read English. The chap just showed him a card and he let us through. And I went to the American lines at Pilsen. And, quite happy, you know, nice to see you and all that. Then I was put on a Dakota plane, and went to Brussels. And I remember the pilot, or the co-pilot, he had a cigar in his mouth, coming walking up and down the plane, and I says, "Are you allowed to smoke?" And he says, "Yeah." Anyway, he gave me a cigar. There was two or three more lads on the plane as well. And he flew over Berlin, and he says, "That's what's happened to Berlin." And to me, it was, well, meant nothing because it was all flat. Yeah. And they flew me to Brussels, but they also gave me some PK packets. There was sweets and chocolate and biscuits in it. Anyway, when I got to Brussels, there was this little Air Force bloke with a big moustache, and he gave me a plastic pot, white pot, in case I was sick flying. I said, "I've just come from Prague." He says, "Anyway," he says, "you've still got to have this." He says, "You could be sick." And it was a Lancaster bomber, and I had to get in there. And I lay on the floor of the bomber. And, we started off. And I remember the pilot saying, "We're flying over the North Sea now." And we went to Oxford. I don't know what the name of the aerodrome was. I just knew it was somewhere near Oxford. And as I got off the plane, two RAF girls took my arms, you know, one either side, and they walked me to this hangar, and I think it must have been a hangar, and there was tables in there, and there was a lot of lads in there sitting down, and I was deloused, and I remember they gave us another uniform to put on, and they put me a ribbon on, 1935 45 star, I didn't know what it was then. And I sat down at the table. I was on the end, and there was a tea urn on the table, empty, and a loaf of white bread sliced. I remember that very well. And a RAF girl come up and she said, "I'll go and get some tea in the urn." And when she came back with the tea, she said, "Who's at the bread?" And the bloke said, he's at it. It was white bread. And she says, "Oh, dear me, I'll have to go and get some more bread then." And I don't know what the meal was, I can't remember. And then after that, I sent Marion, my wife, a telegram to say I was back in England and I was coming home, and I'd be at home by a certain hour or time. Anyway, when I got to Warsaw Station, there was nobody there to meet me. So I went out into the street, and there was a policeman there, and I didn't have any money in my pocket to get a bus, because it was a decent walk from the station to where I lived with my mother-in-law. And I said to the policeman, "I want to get to Limo." He says, "Well, get on the bus." I says, "I haven't got any money." He says, "Well, where you come from?" That's it, Prague. And he says, "Prague?" He says, "Where's that? Sussex? Sorry." I says, "No, Czechoslovakia." He was thrown around the bend or something. I says, "No, I've been a prisoner of war. I've just come back." I says, I thought my relations would be to meet me. Anyway, he says, "Okay, lad." And he stopped the trolley bus, and he told the conductor, "Drop me off at Limo." Anyway, I got to Limo. There's a cinema there called the Rosum, and I lived in Limo Lane, and there was nobody in. I walked down Limo Lane, and people were saying hello, hello, you know. They didn't know I'd been in prison, just said hello, because I was still in uniform. And I got to 18 Leymore Lane, where I lived, at my mother-in-law's, and I knocked on the door. There was no answer. And I knocked again, there was no answer. And I kicked the door, and I said, God, I hope they ain't moved. And I was walking away, and I heard the door open, because you couldn't open it from the outside. It had to be open from the inside, the door, and began later. And I just stood there, and my wife was there, and she, oh. She gave one squeal and shouted up for her mother, and oh my God. Oh dear, it was great. She hadn't got the telegram. The telegram, she hadn't got it. Didn't know. Oh, that's true, that is. And, oh dear, that was it. And that night, a cousin of my wife's, he says, come and have a drink. I mean, there wasn't any decorations, no joyful, like that. I was home. And different relations came in to see me. Anyway, I'd been there a few days ago, and I says, well, I'd better go up to Sunderland to see my mother. So I had a little boy then, he was 5 years old, my son. He was, yeah. He had the measles, you know. But then he were... Oh, I had some silver coins from this girl, Sonia. Czechish silver coins, you know, money. And I gave it, he's given to all the kids. Anyway, I got on the train to go up to Sunderland, and it was full of American troops and people. There wasn't any seats. We went in a guard's van, the three of us, Mary and myself and my son Brian. And everybody was standing up, packed, and there was a shelf by a window. There was bars on the in this, and I sat my little lad on the shelf, and he looked through the bars, and he said, Dad, when you was in prison, did you look through bars like this? And we had plenty of room then. Anyway, I got to Sunderland, and oh, my mum, she was over the moon to see me, like, and I kept going up to Sunderland and coming back to Walsall. You know, I was refused a job.
Now, hang on a minute. Was it funny, I mean, coming back to us? Had you ever seen your son before? Cause
when was your baby?
You'd seen him before you'd left.
Oh, I got caught with him when my first leave.
But you hadn't had a chance to see him between 1 and 5.
Oh, no.
I mean, did you find that strange, coming back to find out your baby was a little lad?
Yeah, he's gone to school. He's 55 year old now.
Did you find it strange? Were you able to get on with him straight away?
Yeah, well, he was shown photographs of me. Right. You know, you know, right? I'll give him a lot of stuff. PK packets.
So you were able to get on with him straight away?
Oh, yeah. There was no...
Were you having any problems? Because some prisoners were when they came back. Even if they hadn't been feeling strange when they were away, felt strange when they got home, you know, either mentally or physically. Did you have any trouble getting back to being a...
No. But I was sent to a rehabilitation centre at Wolverhampton.
While you were still in there? So you had a period of leave, and then you were sent to a rehab?
Yeah.
And what did they do there for you?
Well, I don't know. I just doing arithmetic and different things. I must have thought I was around the bed, but I was all right. I was all right. Oh, and when I got off the plane, I was going to report about Sergeant Major Metcalf.
What about him?
Leaving me. Now, I did meet a Durham chap, and asked him, do you know anything about CSM Metcalf? While I was, where was I? The war had finished. And he said, oh, he got killed. He says he was teaching intakes, recruits, hand grenade throwing and that, and one blew up in his hand and killed him. And he says he also won the MC. So he must have been an officer. He must have took a commission out. But I've been trying for a long, long while to find out what happened to Metcalf. Nobody seems to know.
So you still feel bitter about him then?
I was left for 5 years. That's the only bitter thing there was. I mean, Peter, I shouldn't have been took prisoner.
He should have taken you with him.
I could walk, I could run. Oh, and I also asked about Captain Annand about 2 years ago. I got to know this young lieutenant's name was named Rudd. Martin McLean told me that. I asked him what was his
name. That's the one you ran across the field with.
And he said his name was Rudd. And I wrote to Captain Annand once and asked him, did he know, was Mr. Rudd still alive? I'd like to meet him. And he said he was dead. And that was it. I mean, living down here, if I'd asked earlier, being up the northeast, I might have, years ago, I might have met him. Because he saved me when he told me to keep running, but I'd leave me mate Jody behind. Yeah. Now then, I've got that book.
Now, hang on a minute. So, you were... You went to the rehab centre. I thought you went to 2 rehab centres.
Yes, I went up to Washington after they transferred me up there.
And what were you doing at Washington?
The same thing as what I was... Well, we were doing... making things. You know, making things.
Did you see any point to go to these rehab centres?
Not in my case. Other now, lads, yeah.
When
not,
you can...
not in my case. I was of sound mind and...
When you came, so when did you actually leave the army then? I mean, you didn't have any more postings, did you?
No.
Or did you?
No. Wait a minute, no. I didn't, but I had to go to Chester Hospital with my knee. I was in there about a week, they didn't do anything. And my wife...
Chester or Chesterley Street?
Hmm?
Chester or Chesterley Street?
Chester Hospital, Chester. Military Hospital. I was in there, look, my knee swollen again, I was in there about a week, I think, but they didn't do anything. Well, Marion came down with me. It was on a Whitson to the hospital. And they wouldn't let her into the hospital. And she had to find her way back. Whitson, all the buses, yeah. They wouldn't let her, yeah. Well, you can't come in. That's my wife. And I came back home. And, that's when I went into Wolverhampton after that rehabilitation. And
so then you were demobilised on... On the 17th of March, 1946. That's when you went to the Class Z Reserve.
Yeah.
Now, what job were you going to get when you went to, you know, you were out of the army?
Well, I was going to. When you get your job back, what's the word again?
Doesn't matter. But
I went down to the bus company to get my job back.
Where you'd been a conductor.
Yeah.
And had they held it open for you?
No, you just said, oh, they knew all about me. And I said, I can't conduct because I've got a bad leg and I can't drive.
Was it worse than it had been then?
Well, it was. It used to swell up. Understand me? Yeah.
It was worse than it been, because you'd had the bad leg in 1939.
Yeah.
Was it worse than that now?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. It was getting worse. And
so what did they say?
And they said, well... And asked for a job in the sheds, just like the sheds. I said, no, it's full up, and so I didn't get any work. And then I went up to Sunderland to my mother's, and right there I got a job in the post office. And I didn't walk quick, it was just a nice walk, easy walk, and I went for a medical. I was on the walk for about a month, I went for a medical, and a few days later, well, the next day, I think, after the report had come through to the postmaster, he called me into his office and said, I've got some bad news for you, Mr. Miller. I said, oh, I says, why, what's wrong? I'd done something wrong with the post, you know. And he says, no, he says, I'm afraid you can't be a postman, you're under the height. I says, under the height? He says, half inch too short. It's true, this is. And that was it. And I come back to my mother's and said to Marion, I says, I've lost my job, Marion. I'm not a postman. Well, I says, I'm too little. You ever been a soldier all them years? And I rode down to the old coaches about it some time later.
The Daily Mirror?
And they said he was a pig and all that. And that's what the minimum height was. And they said 5'4". Still is 5'4". The minimum height. But this postman on the post of his other one, he about 5 foot, some of them.
Because, yeah, I mean, on some of your army records, you're down as 5'4", 5'5", sorts of things.
Boots on, I know. My army discharge people say I'm 5'5".
How did you feel about that, after all?
How'd I feel? Is this England? This is where I come back to after all that suffering. Yeah. And I come back here.
Did you do anything about it then? Or
well, I was a bit thick in that respect. I mean, being a prisoner, you don't got them pure accounts now. You just lost my job. You know, I was going back to the days before the war. You're sacked and that's it.
So you were in Sunderland then, with the wife and family. And so what did you do when you got the sack?
Well, I come back to Walsall. I come back to Walsall and I got this house. And I got a job at Talbot and Stead's in Green Line, Walsall. It's now it's Chubb Investments.
And what was the job as?
I start labouring first. You know, just shoving bars through a die. You know, it was easy work, nothing hard. And then later on I was made a charge hand. And I had my own inspection key for the government. Oh, yeah, I thought a lot about me. I was speaking to you.
So you stayed in that job till you retired?
No, not quite. I come off that job and I went into the stockyard. And I was in charge of the stockyard. I was on they put me on the staff then. I was on the stockyard. And then, as I say, my leg was getting bad again. And I went into the offices. Into the office as on a pay and productivity, you know, a lot of work to do, you know, writing and that and feeling it.
But you stayed with the same firm till you retired?
Oh, same firm, yeah.
So did that make you feel better about, or were you still bitter about what had happened when you came out of the army?
I was still bitter about it. of course I was bitter.
Did you get a pension for your knee?
Yeah, oh yeah, 20%. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got that right away. I mean, they seemed to know all about it. It was on the medical records. I shouldn't have been in the yard. I should have been sent down. I couldn't march. I could march, but I was back in the hospital again. Fluid on the knee, synovitis. And my ankle was getting weak as well. I was having trouble with that. So and during the years, I went to get a suit in 1945 when I come out the army, like. I went out to 50 Bob Taylor's. Nice stripe. Oh, I also got a suit from the army, like, you know, I packed up, like. I was measured for that because my body must have been. I don't know, I was measured. There wasn't anything to fit me. The chap, oh, it was a beautiful suit. But I went down to 50 Bob Taylor's for this suit, and it was the same as the suit I got from the mob. This sleeve was down here.
Too long.
Yeah, this sleeve, one there, and this one was all right. So I said, I made a mistake, so I took, but anyway, literally took up. And I got the suit from the 50 Bob Taylor's and brought it back here, and I tried it on. Well, I said, yeah, I'm on it. And I said, look, this sleeve, it's down here. I went back. I said, look, this sleeve, that's funny. Measured my arm. Well, that's in the measure, that's, you know. So they took it up again, like. And 2 years later, I had another suit, and the same again. They took it back. So I said, will you measure this arm? And this arm's an inch and a half shorter. Through my shoulder, it had pulled my arm. I can't lift my arms up now.
From your shoulder wound. That was never treated.
Now, wait a minute. Now, in 1952. No, before then.
It doesn't matter. Carry on.
Anyway, I woke up in bed. Oh, Marion, my shoulder. Oh, the pain was terrific. Oh, God. Marion said, you've got rheumatics. Oh, I says, this is rheumatics. I went to my doctor. Dr. Govender, he just lived up there out here. I said, Doctor, I can't bend my neck. That's as far as I can bend it. I got what they call osteoarthritis and everything. Anyway, he felt around my shoulder down at the hospital. I was x-rayed. Come back and said, how long you had this in your arm? I says, I don't know where it is. I don't know whether it's a bullet or shrapnel. It's still there. And all the shrapnel on my shoulder, I never knew. This scar. Yeah, all of me is. What had happened? It had moved. It's still there.
Does it hurt you now?
Sometimes, yeah. As I say, I can't raise my arms. I get a pinch for that now. And that's what happened to me.
Thank you very much.